I would like to just take the opportunity to first of all thank you for picking this workshop. As Jim stated, I have been an employee at UPS for nearly 28 years, and in that same 28 years, I spent 11 years as a part-time pastor at Victory Baptist Church in Sand Lake, and God was very good to my wife and I in our time of ministry there. And 2.5 years ago, we resigned that ministry, not knowing exactly what the Lord had in store for us. And since that time, I have been working on this ministry, which has somewhat been launched, but not really completely been launched. I will take the time today to try to give you an overview of this ministry. If you would like to take one of those and pass them out, give you a little bit of information in your hand as we go through this presentation. On March the 15th of 2005, March the 14th of 2005, I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. I have been now dealing with type 2 diabetes for the last 4.5 years. God has given me an opportunity to educate myself a great deal about the disease in general and the specifics of how it affects my own body. The interesting thing about diabetes, there's several types, type 1, type 2, gestational, and I have found out in talking with many different people that diabetes doesn't affect two people in the exact same way. Something that might work for me may not work for another diabetic, and vice versa. So what I'd like to do today is just kind of give you an overview first and let you know that Caring for the Body Ministries exists to bring awareness to caring for our physical bodies and to encourage believers to live with the body of Christ in mind. Encouragement to care for our physical bodies is brought to light from the perspective of type 2 diabetes. Believers are challenged to contemplate how the 11 systems of the human body can demonstrate to us how the body of Christ is designed to function properly for the purpose of glorifying our God and King. As we go through this presentation today, I'm going to share a lot of personal experience with you. First of all, I want to share with you a ministry that I call Does God Care About My Body? It's a workshop that I have designed, and this workshop is set up to run on a 4-hour basis, generally with my time schedule. I try to plan these for Saturdays, preferably in the morning, but would be open to any time of the day on Saturday that would work into a church's schedule. And in this workshop, I have 4 1-hour sessions. First of all, I tell the story of what happened. I talk about the messengers that God sent into my life. Thirdly, I talk about the plan of what my plan is and how I go about handling type 2 diabetes in my personal experience. Also, then I talk about the common sense things. And I'm going to share a bit of what this workshop does with you today. First of all, the story. I tell the cold hard facts. The cold hard facts that 4.5 years ago, I was almost 300 pounds. My blood sugar was way out of control. And I was actually diagnosed by my mother at a restaurant. Now, let me tell you that that's not where I stopped. I went to the doctor. I had the blood test. I went through all the official things. And the doctor actually did tell me that, yes, you are a diabetic. My mother diagnosed me because she is a diabetic. She watched me as we shared and fellowshipped around the table at a restaurant for a couple of hours. She watched me drink about 8 glasses of water, and she watched me get up and excuse myself to the restroom about 4 or 5 times, which are two of the situations that we go through as we are, you know, developing this disease in our lives. So the cold hard facts were that I was doing whatever I wanted to with food. I was actually abusing my body, and you know what? Food had control of me. I did not have control of it. And the facts are that I I was out of control in this area of my life. As I started to do some research and as I started to think about, you know, well, how in the world can I change this? I come across a quote from Warren Wiersbe that said, God desires your body, mind, and will. So, you know, for us to be living submitted to our God, it's not just simply, you know, a mental thing. It's also that, you know, we need to submit our will to Him and our bodies need to be submitted to Him. In my personal case, I was out of control. I was on what a lot of people would call a seafood diet. Okay? I ate whatever I saw. And I didn't have any regard for what it was doing to my body. And as I started to really take an account of what was going on with my body, I started to understand that I was actually very foolish, because both of my parents were type 2 diabetics, which is another thing that just kind of takes you down that road toward the possibility of that in your own life. Well, let me talk to you a little bit about my numbers. The date was March 14th, 2005, and I'm only going to share a couple of those numbers with you today. First of all, my blood glucose number was 268, which is definitely in the diabetic range. Now, I've heard some people who have been diagnosed initially give numbers much higher than 268, 500, 600, I've heard people say. So, but at any rate, that number was 268 for me. And what the next number I want to share with you is a number that if you have any education at all surrounding diabetes, it's called an A1C number, okay? And doctors want for us as healthy people to be at 6.5 or below. Mine was 10.4. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that number as we get a little bit further into this. But I seen some numbers that initially when the doctor shared these numbers with me, not knowing what was going on and not having the awareness of what all those numbers really meant, they hit me. But they didn't really hit me like, whoa, you know, like it didn't stop me in my tracks initially to get my attention for me to really make some changes. 6 months later, after I made some changes in my diet, made some drastic changes in my lifestyle, those numbers were very much in line. My glucose number was now 105, and my A1C number 6 months later at my doctor's appointment was now 5.2, half of what it used to be. I stand before you today and tell you that it is not possible for everyone with diabetes to experience what I have, and I am not blind to the fact that everyone could do this or that will do this, but I stand before you taking no medication and no insulin to control my diabetes. Diet and exercise is how it has happened for me, and that's what took place. And the weight loss that took place in that 6 months was an astronomical number. I actually lost over 80 pounds in just over 7 months. At the time that this was happening, a very well-meaning retired nurse called my wife and said, "You need to get Pastor to the doctor because he probably has cancer. He's losing weight so fast he probably has cancer." Now, after I thought about that well-meaning phone conversation for a while, I'm like, you know what, my wife doesn't need to hear things like this. Well, obviously those numbers changed and a lot of things happened, and we'll get into a little bit more of that as we go on. My choices. The story of what took place is, I was presented with a couple of choices. I could go on and live exactly the way I was, and due to the fact that my, you know, everything in my life was out of control physically within my body, I know that I would have that I would be in very poor health today and probably on my way to dying, because I watched it happen in my father's life. My father was diagnosed when he was 47 years old with type 2 diabetes. A non-believer who looked at his doctor when the doctor tried to bring to him the idea of, excuse me, bring to him the idea of making some lifestyle change. He looked at his doctor and said, "You can talk until you're blue in the face, but I'm not going to make any changes." When he was 54, we buried him in Winter Haven, Florida, with every possible diabetic problem that you could have. A bad heart, bad kidneys, bad liver, eyesight failing. The only thing that my father did not experience as the side effects of diabetes was a limb amputation. So my choices became very clear to me. I became very motivated to make some changes, and God was working in my heart over the issues of, you know, self-control, which we're going to get to in our next segment here. The messengers that God sent my way, there are seven of them. The first is my doctor, Dr. John Maurer, who I have doctored with for 27 years. And he has warned me many times to take better care of myself, to trim some of the weight that I was gaining. And I didn't listen to him. But the thing that he said to me that day when he told me of my diagnosis was, "You must attend diabetes management class." Educating ourselves about diabetes is absolutely essential. If we have this disease, or if we are in a state of what people refer to as pre-diabetes, which is elevated glucose numbers above 130, but not elevated to the point of being a full-blown diabetic, education about what this disease does, how it works, how it affects the body, what it does to the body over a long period of time is absolutely essential. What God started to teach me from a physical standpoint of learning about the physical body was I needed to educate myself about diabetes, but he also started to teach me the absolute value of knowing Jesus Christ in a more personal, intimate way. You see, there was a correlation from the physical body to my spiritual life, and God was working in my heart all of this time through that messenger. The second messenger was my mother. I called my mom after I told my wife and my two sons of my diagnosis. The first person I called was my mother. And the very first sentence out of her mouth was, "You have not been given a fatal diagnosis." And she was right. I had not been told that I had inoperable cancer, or that I had some form of leukemia, or some form of a disease that was going to take my life in 6 months or a year. I haven't been given a fatal diagnosis, which that said to me that, you know what, I can have an effect on this. The choices that I make are going to really make a difference as to whether or not this debilitates my body further, or I live a healthier lifestyle. So the third messenger was a woman by the name of Carolyn Foote, who was a member at Victory Baptist at the time. She still is a faithful member there. And she looked at me one day as we were shaking hands, as we were leaving the worship service, and she said, "You know what? Controlling diabetes is about self-control. It's about self-control." Well, as I started to really contemplate what she said to me, I thought, you know, there's a lot of areas of my life that are not lived in control. It's not, you know, there's a lot of areas of my life that are kind of out of control. And as I began to do a little bit of study from a biblical standpoint of self-control, I started to understand that really self-control is something that is not that, not, it's not something like the word or the phraseology gives us indication of. It's not something that I produce, but it's something that the Spirit of God produces in me as I submit control of my life to Him. So, and you know what? I never even considered the idea that would go so far in this idea of the food that I consume and what that food is doing to my body. Next, we have a statement that when it was first said to me, I kind of took a, "What did you just say?" approach to it. That statement was, "You have lived to eat, now you must eat to live." Mary Naderveld was one of my diabetes educators in the three-week class that I took, and she made this statement, and I'm like, how dare you say that to me? That was my initial response. But then as it really set in, I kind of wanted to just cower over into a corner and curl up and say, she's exactly right. I have lived to eat. And I ate everything that I wanted to. And now was, and now, you'll notice the emphasis there, now. Don't wait until next month or next year. But the changes that you need to make in your life is what she was saying to me. They must be made now. You must determine. You see, the longer that I know Christ and walk with the Lord, the more I understand this idea of submission and determination. It's filled. It's all over the Scriptures. The idea of submitting to His will and then determining to walk in that. And she said here a big statement to me that at first I wanted to just step back and say, nah, I ain't going there. But then God really used that as a message to get through to me. Next is you're lucky. You say, what in the world? How in the world can you use the word lucky? Well, John Wood is an unbeliever whose wife is a very faithful member at Victory Baptist Church. And I had stopped over to see him a short while after I was diagnosed. And he goes, I understand that you've been diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. And I said, yes, I have. And he said, do you happen to know what your A1C number is? And I'm like, yes, I do. I said, I actually carry these numbers with me every place I go now. Would you like to look at all of them? So I took it out and looked at him. He looked at that A1C number, which I alluded to earlier, was 10.4, and he said, you're lucky. And I'm like, John, what do you mean? At the very moment that I asked the question, before anything came out of John's mouth, the Spirit of God was impressing upon my heart and on my mind exactly what was going on. Because about 7 months earlier, I was in Butterworth Spectrum Hospital in downtown Grand Rapids, and I had prayed over John Wood in the ICU ward. He had had a massive heart attack, and the doctors told him he would not survive. Told his family. He looked at me, and he said, you know what? My A1C number when I had my heart attack was 10.4. Do you think God used that to stop me right in my tracks? He certainly did. He got my attention. Next is, please don't do what Grandpa did. These are my sons, Bill and Andy Crane. They are now 30 and 27, the only two children that my wife and I, Laura, have. And I called them separately. And their exact statement was, please don't do what Grandpa did. And they told me afterwards that they had not discussed it amongst the two of them, that they were what they were going to say, because they knew I had been having some tests. That was their exact statement. Well, what did their grandpa do? Their grandpa basically made no changes. He was gone. They never met him because he died at age 54. And that happened 27 years ago. Well, my oldest son did meet his grandpa, but my youngest one never did because his grandpa died 16 days after he was born and never had the opportunity. And they knew that it was well documented that his diabetes was out of control, and they looked at me and they said, don't do what Grandpa did. Well, finally, not SOS, but STS, silent total support. My wife, Laura, from the day that I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, has been a complete support. She has made adjustments in our home that have not necessarily been the easiest to make. When you have a certain lifestyle and certain things that you like to eat, like, you know, ice cream, hot food. No, I shouldn't have said those things. I'm really sorry that I brought those up. But the point that I want to make here is that, you know, God has worked through my wife and supporting me through this entire situation. Well, moving on from the messengers to the plan. Is this just another plan? You know what? You could look at what I'm about to share with you and you could say, okay, well, excuse me. You could say, well, this is just another weight loss idea, or this, and it could be viewed for that, you know, because after all, in 6 to 7 months' time, I had lost a total of 83 pounds. And, you know, you could look at this and you could say, is it really something that's just another idea? Well, I say to that idea is that submission is essential. Therefore, what I did as a, you know, as a helpmeet or an assistant to the idea of submission is I wrote a short article and developed what I call a 366-day study and prayer guide. And within this guide, I'm not suggesting that this is the only prayer guide that we ought to use, but for someone who was totally out of control in many areas of my life, along with food that I just wasn't dealing with, it was helpful for me to include within my prayer time a willingness to submit my body, mind, and will to God on a day-to-day basis. And so I developed a bit of a prayer guide that I offer to individuals as a helper to maybe look at that part of the issue when it comes to food. So is it just another plan? If we're not willing to submit ourselves to God's plan for us, yes, this is just another plan. But what is the plan? I listened and I implemented the diabetes education that I had. And in that, I learned how to count carbohydrates. I learned how to educate myself on the glycemic index and how certain foods will affect your blood sugar quicker than what other foods will. In the glycemic index, every food is given a number, with 55 being the number that you want to eat those foods that are below 55. A spoonful of sugar has a glycemic index of 100, which means that as soon as it hits your stomach, it converts into glucose and into your bloodstream and can shoot your blood sugars way up very quickly. But an apple, let's say, is 38 on the glycemic index. So when you consume an apple, it takes a little bit longer for it to break down. It doesn't affect your blood sugars so quickly and can even them out so that you don't have the spikes after meals and possible lows later. Many things that I learned about counting carbohydrates and the amount that, counting carbohydrates has to do with how many carbohydrates that you can have at a mealtime. Myself personally, I plan to have 3 meals a day, 4 to 5 hours apart. That's what worked for me. I've talked with several diabetics who eat 6 times a day and eat smaller meals, and it has worked for them. I'm not saying that there's only one plan that will work. I'm just simply saying that we need to have a plan in place, a plan of attack of how to go ahead and handle this within our physical bodies. The next thing that I committed myself to do in the plan was cutting fat and salt intake. There's 4 different kinds of fats. I educated myself about that, and in this workshop I go into great detail of the different kinds of fats and what these fats actually do for us. Some fats are actually healthy. We need fat every day in our diet for us, for our bodies to function properly. There are some fats we want to stay away from completely. If we can at all manage to stay away from trans fats, we want to. Because you know what? Trans fats are the ones that clog the arteries and cause more problems later. Saturated fats do a little bit as well. But, so we learn about fat. We learn about what our bodies need. We learn about healthy fats as well. Then we talk about cutting salt intake. Would anyone here take a guess at how many grams of salt the average American consumes on a daily basis? Anyone want to guess?
1,000.
Anyone else?
I think it's like probably 3,000 or 4,000.
Anyone else?
iPhone.
The average American consumes 8,000 milligrams of salt per day. The American Diabetic Association suggests, especially for diabetics and really for general health for everyone, that we consume no more than 2,400 milligrams of salt per day. And you know what? That can be altered based on your overall health. It can be altered based on what your doctor would suggest concerning cardiovascular situations and similar things like that. So we talk about salt a little bit too. And then finally in the plan, we talk about committing to exercise. And you know, one of the things that I learned in the diabetes management classes is that as we exercise, the exercise actually will open, is the key that opens the cells of our bodies that allows insulin to enter the cells and give us energy and do what it's designed to do. And opens it up so that the glucose can go into our cells, providing us with energy and that sort of thing. So exercise is important. And you know, I've shared this workshop on several occasions, and usually when I get to this point, I have a lot of people that look at me with kind of a little bit of a cross-eyed look, you know, exercise. You know, exercise is good for the human body. It's good for the human body. And what I tell people is I lost all the weight and I never jogged and I never worked out an aerobic type thing. I simply walked a couple of miles a day at a brisk pace. And you know what? All of us can walk, maybe not 2 miles, and we're not planning for a marathon, so we can work our way up as we talk with our doctors about how we might be able to implement this into our daily lives. Now, in the fourth session of the four-hour workshop, we talk about common sense things. We talk about water. Water is absolutely important to our bodies. We talk about nutrition and vitamin supplements. We talk about eating not for enjoyment, which is exactly what I did, but eating from a nutritional side of it and feeding our bodies what our bodies need and the proper amounts. We also talk about fiber in our diet. We also talk about protein. We talk about free foods. And there's a list of foods that I put up on the screen, and you know, I tell people to eat colorful, you know, because the color in the foods that you are eating are actually providing your body with the necessary nutrients that it needs to function properly. So you know, I talk about leafy greens, and I talk about red tomatoes, and I talk about, you know, yellow squash. Well, then I didn't bring it with me today. It's actually here in another program. But I actually then take a little bit of a portion of this last segment and I say, you know, eating colorful is what my doctor said I need to do. So I went home and ate a great big bowl of, and then I pop a picture of a bowl of M&M's on the screen. And then after that saying, eating right and colorful, I never knew could make you feel so good. So kind of baited along a little bit, and then spend some time really talking about the importance of eating colorful and how that our bodies need those type of things. Number six here is label training. When it comes to knowing what's in the food we eat, for 45 years, I went to the grocery store, took it off the shelf, put it in the cart. Never took time to read what was in it. Never took time to know, you know, how many carbohydrates were there, nothing. So I spend 10 to 15 minutes in this last section on label training so that people can learn how it is, you know, what it is that they're eating and how that's going to affect them. And then finally, I talk about the calorie, fat, and carbohydrate counter. This is an excellent resource, which I think today, the 2009 version of this would be probably around $7 or $8. And this is a resource that really was excellent for me to be able to use to figure out exactly what was in the food I was eating and also... with all of these contents, knowing exactly where I was going with my planning. Now, the last thing I want to talk about before I get to the second segment, which is a continuing ministry, and that is the idea of working the plan. You have there on a grayscale on your paper what I call the Does God Care About My Body Workshop Meal Planning and Glucose Monitoring System. This is something that I have designed from my own experience that will allow an individual who is learning how, maybe from a new perspective, how to deal with diabetes. What this does is it breaks the day down into breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a couple of snacks. We also look at the amount of water that we're taking in by the 8-ounce glass. We have on here a place for medication so that an individual can track the amount of medication that they're taking to deal with their diabetes. Also, the amount of exercise. And basically what this does is gives a person the opportunity to plan meals ahead of time. You can buy according to your plan. And then there is a place on the lower portion of Sunday that you can take a Monday morning glucose reading. Now, that might not be a morning glucose reading for somebody else. For me personally, my highest glucose readings of the day are in the morning after I've slept all night. So that's why I do it that way. It's probably not that way with everyone. In fact, I'm sure it isn't that way with everyone. But that's the way it is with me. So I put down here, you know, the time and then your blood glucose level for the next morning. And then that way what I can do is I can take a look at the food that I ate the day before and I can see how it affects my blood glucose level tomorrow morning. And, you know, you could do this, you could do this with readings throughout the day. You could have your breakfast and say 3 hours later or before lunch, you could test your blood glucose to see what that breakfast meal did to your sugar levels. And so this is just a resource that that kind of brings people to the idea of saying, you know what, I want to keep track of this. I want to know exactly, you know, what's happening inside my body. Now, once a week on this resource, I put down a passage of Scripture. This particular week is Romans 12:1, where we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And then I have a quotation on here from Oswald Chambers. Our notion of sacrifice is the wringing out of something we don't want to give up, full of pain, agony, and distress. But the Bible idea of sacrifice is that I give as a love gift the very best thing that I have. And then a simple prayer. Just a theme for the week in that. These are available. I make these available at the workshop for people to consider as part of their day-to-day planning. Now, the next portion of the ministry, I need to tell you that in the first few times that I shared the workshop, I went out. I actually shared the workshop the first time that I shared it. I did it something totally different than what I had ever thought that it would be designed to do. And that is, I shared it in a Sunday school setting over a 4-week period, which I didn't know for sure how that would go and never really planned on using it that way, but it could be done that way. And the first time that I shared it, I now attend Kent City Baptist Church, and Kent City is a growing ministry. At the time that I shared it a year and a half ago in January, I seen my week one numbers of about 20 to 25 people in the first session grow to almost 80 people in an adult Sunday school class. People were clamoring for someone to talk about health issues from a spiritual perspective. And it was very well received. Then I was invited to go back to Victory, where I had resigned from about a year earlier in late March, a year and a half ago, and shared for about 28 people. That was very well received. I've shared it in the Houghton Lake area for 13 or 14 people, and then once in the Rockford area to a small group of 3 people. And every place that I've been, the response has been very positive. People are very interested in knowing about this. Well, as I got thinking about the response to this, I'm like, well, I can go, as God would permit me, to go into churches and groups and share this ministry and this idea, But I said, if I go simply one time, you know, where is it going to go from there? So God burdened me to write a resource that I call Caring for the Body Discussion Groups. This is a resource that is not quite, it's finished, the writing is done, but I can't stand in front of you and tell you that the proofreading is all done and all that sort of thing. But what this is a resource that you can get together in a support group type setting, and in these meetings, we talk about several things. We talk about a system of the body. We talk about what that system needs. For example, the skeletal system needs calcium and vitamin D, and it needs weight-bearing exercise to promote bone growth. And then we take a theme from that, and we say that, you know, doing research, the skeletal system of the body works in conjunction with every one of the other systems in one way or another. So I take that and say, you know what, that's unity. So I bridge the gap from there, from the idea of talking about, you know, our physical bodies, and I bridge the gap to the spiritual body of Christ, saying, you know what? What is it that we really need for unity in the body of Christ? And we talk about humility and gentleness and patience and forbearing love, and have kind of an emphasis in each of the meetings where we have an emphasis on the physical side and on the spiritual side. We also have opportunities for discussion. We have opportunities for what I call a topical concentration, which is basically motivational in nature, where individuals are kind of motivated to keep at it. I'm at the 4.5 year level right now, and I will honestly admit to you today that the last 5 months have been very difficult for me to stay motivated. I've put some weight back on, and I've become somewhat discouraged. Not to the point of giving up, but in it for the long haul. You know, encouraging times through those times that, you know, you slip up. You take a week off from your exercise. You slip up. Because we know that the carry-in dinner had more carbohydrates than what we should have consumed. How many of you can forever in a day walk past chocolate cake and never consider eating it again? Any takers? Okay, we got a couple. That's great. Praise the Lord for your resolve. You know what? That's tough for me sometimes. And you know what? I can plan some of that in based on what I eat. I can make those adjustments. So, you know what? This portion of the ministry, the discussion groups, are really based on being there for each other and coming alongside each other and encouraging one another to not only handle our physical bodies, how our bodies are relating to diabetes, but also the idea of being challenged spiritually to grow in Christ. These 12 discussion groups, so we start out with life as a gift. Just in general, life is a gift from God, and we talk in this first session, the spiritual side of it, we ask the question, are we really alive? Talking about salvation. Do you really know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And through this, you know, and there's also illustration that I kind of should have alluded to a little bit earlier, the workshop also has a session in it, or a portion of session two, where you can reach out into your community to diabetics who are not a part of your church, and there's a presentation of the gospel right within that workshop, so that people can hear the truth of the gospel while looking for information about how to handle their diabetes. So, first of all, we talk about life as a gift. Secondly, we talk about being unified with a purpose. This is the skeletal system, what I already alluded to earlier, unity with humility, gentleness, patience, and forbearing love. The next session, we talk about the great exchange. This is the respiratory system. The respiratory system exchanges oxygen for gas that our bodies must get rid of, okay? We have a great exchange. Every time you breathe in, your lungs and your body does a phenomenal thing of taking in what you need and getting rid of what you don't need. And here the spiritual emphasis is on exchanging the self life for the not I but Christ life. You know, making that exchange, not living for my own self, but living with the body of Christ in mind and deepening my relationship with Christ. Number four is sensing change. This is the integumentary system, which in a nutshell is your skin, the largest organ of the body. Your skin senses change of all kinds, from sun, you know, to cold, and you know, sensing change is the idea there. And then in each one of these, we talk about what this system of the body needs, you know, nutritionally and exercise and water and those sort of things. Well, here we ask the question, spiritually speaking, am I resisting, rebelling, or relinquishing control of my life to the Spirit? Am I resisting, rebelling, or relinquishing control? Number five, we talk about let's getting to the heart of the matter. That is the cardiovascular system. And we talk about what the heart needs. We talk there about knowing the signs of cardiovascular catastrophe, knowing the signs of a heart attack, knowing the signs of a stroke, cardiac arrest, and those sort of things. We also talk about developing a heart to please God. Number six, absorbing the good and eliminating the not so good. This is the digestive system. For the physical idea here, for the digestive system, we actually talk about dental health. The dentist can tell so many things by looking in our mouths. And we talk about dental health, and we talk about soaking up the truth of the Word of God, like absorbing it, not just like hearing it and then let it fall by the wayside, but absorbing it into who we are, that it changes us more into the image of Jesus. Number seven, we talk about the reality of the war. This is the immune system. There is a war going on within our bodies every day, all day. And we are in a war, spiritually speaking. We are challenged there to understand the war that we are in, understand what we need to do to be victorious in that war. Number eight, we talk about use them or lose them. This is the muscular system. There is physical proof and evidence all over the place that if we do not use our muscles, that our muscles will get smaller. Witness that by someone who you might see have a cast on their arm or on their leg for 6 to 8 weeks, and you'll notice how much smaller their arm would be after they take it out of a cast. They haven't been able to use it. The muscles actually shrink. So we talk about here, you know, what our muscles need. We need to use our muscles in some form of exercise. We also talk about exercising ourselves toward godliness. Number eight, who is really in control? This is the nervous system. We talk a bit about self-control in this segment. Discussion number 10, growing up in Christ. This is the endocrine system, which I'm not going to even attempt to try to explain all the ins and outs of that right here without notes in front of me. But I am going to tell you that there is a process of growing in grace, growing in Christ. And, you know, this discussion focuses on that from the spiritual side. Number 11, step aside, please. This is the urinary system. And, you know, our bodies put away waste. And, you know, we need to understand that we need to put ourselves aside. And we need to let Christ and His plans for our lives take control. So that's the spiritual challenge for number 11. Number 12 is the reproductive system. And into me see is a play on words for intimacy. Intimacy with God. And we use this as a springboard to just challenge people to a more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. So this is kind of an overview of the ministry. And as I stated earlier, it is it's kind of in the beginning stages. I am more than willing to schedule times to visit your church or talk with anybody about the possibility of sharing this ministry in any of your churches. Now, what I would like to do for a few minutes is just open it up to questions. Does anyone have any questions about what we've talked about? Yes.
Well, as a born-again Christian, and you have the Holy Spirit living within you, and your body becomes the temple of Christ, and if you purposely misuse your body and allow it to become ill and sick, is that spiritual sin? Is that sin, allowing your body to become sick and ill because of an addiction to food?
I'm not sure that I, you know, would directly answer that. Some people would definitely say yes. And in my own personal case, I believe that I let myself get way out of control. And yes, there was a time where there was repentance and coming back to what I believe was fellowship with my God. However, I would also say that for some people, food is not an issue. And for others, it really is. I don't think we could categorically say that every situation is sin. Some, yes, they are. I don't think we could categorically say that everyone is. I think there might be some areas in there that wouldn't always fall into that.
Sometimes weight problems doesn't come from diabetes. Sometimes they have a malfunction of another system in their body.
Exactly.
Their thyroid or their metabolism is different. So.
And I also know, I mean, I know of some situations where, you know, this body is a very complex creation. When I just stop and think about how this body works, it just blows my mind to think that God simply spoke and this body came into existence. And you know what? Some people deal with chemical imbalances and all kinds of different things within the body. So I think there's a lot of issues that would come into play. Yes, sir.
Because I think we have to be careful. There are some Christians that if a person is sick, they say it's your fault.
Oh, yes, very much so.
That's unfortunate. The sicker you are, the more fault you've got.
Right, well, God must be chastising you because, you know, right. And I don't think that that's always the case.
No, that's true.
I don't believe that's always the case.
You've seen that with mental problems. Some people have hereditary mental problems and they're given a bill of goods from Christian people to say it's your fault because you're not depending on God and you're in spiritual depression or denial or whatever else, and you need to be on medicine, and they aren't, because people will say that you aren't just in the Lord, you're just in your medicine. That's not right.
And there's an awful lot of issues there that are very, very sticky. So yes, sir.
The one guy that said you were lucky, Did you get a chance to give him the gospel?
I have witnessed to John on several occasions.
Okay.
He is yet unsaved. I have, yes, shared the gospel.
I thought about that, and I thought, okay, so, you know, he was the one that told you were lucky, and I thought that's a great opportunity to turn around and just say, after you come to your realization of where you were at and how God healed you, proper choices and stuff like that, that you can go back to them and share the gospel.
Yeah. And yes, I've had the opportunity. In fact, many in our church have had the opportunity, and he is yet unsaved, but I'm still trusting God for a miracle. Yes, sir.
So what's your best weight then?
My best?
What would you like to be?
What would I like to be? Ideally, I'd like to be somewhere between 210 and 220 for my height. Although the chart at the doctor's office would tell me I need to be at about 195, but, you know, you don't listen. Oh, wait a minute, I'm on tape.
Another question. You said your first session at that clinical class was 20 and the next one was 80. If you come to our church, how do we get everybody there that needs to be there?
Well,
what can you?
Generally what I'd like to try to do is do all four sessions on a Saturday rather than 4 weeks in a row. I do provide flyers, bulletin inserts that would give you an opportunity to promote it in your community weeks in advance. I try to get stuff out 2 months in advance so that it can be promoted and talked about. Really, you know, I don't really know any tried or, you know, true ways that you can absolutely get people there. The last seminar or the last workshop that I did was in Rockford. It was a three-person seminar. And in talking with the pastor, there were several churches in the area that kind of coordinated it together. And in talking with one of the pastors, he's like, I have about 3 to 4 people that I need to get to this. And none of them were either available or took the initiative to be there. What that, you know, how that worked out, I don't know all the details of it. So I think really it's just the idea of presenting it to people. I've thought about the possibility of doing some video advertising where, you know, maybe it would be a 2-minute blurb where at your church, you know, I could talk about it. Right now I don't have the capabilities of doing that because I'm not very, I mean, for me to set this up and get this to work right is about as technically advanced as I am. But, you know, I've thought about a lot of different things. I've actually thought about visiting a church a month or so in advance and promoting it and saying, you know, hey, wait a minute, I'm a type 2 diabetic. You know, I have dealt with it for 4.5+ years, and I'm just here to come alongside and to assist you. You know, so how to do it visibly, I don't know for sure yet. Yes.
What's your follow-up after the seminar? What have you found to be, what should happen after that 4-day session seminar?
In terms of follow-up, basically I've left that to the pastors of the local churches. And really my idea from my perspective of the follow-up is this portion of it. That's what my follow-up is. You know, it's just the idea of, you know, and these are designed for once a month meetings. We're doing this at Kent City now, and I've taught 2 of these sessions, and some of the people that have been there are like, man, could we meet more often, you know?
So each of these 12 things, you have these turn into a weekly devotional or something?
Well, actually, all of you are welcome to look at these. I've got a few copies with me, but You have a physical body emphasis, then a physical health focus in each of these sessions. Then you have the body of Christ. You have a spiritual health focus. You got some scriptures to internalize and musical selections that you can consider as points of emphasis that kind of emphasize the point. These turn into about 60 to 90 minute meetings when you include sharing time, when you include the idea of, you know, welcoming in new people. And, you know, like I said, life as a gift is basically the idea of, are you alive spiritually? So it's about salvation. That's the kickoff. And then the rest of them are about growth, spiritually speaking, with an emphasis in a different...
What's the cost? Is there a cost to, obviously, your traveling cost?
Basically, what I'm doing at this point is I'm just simply traveling for an offering. I have no set fee that I've set because I'm in the very beginning stages of all of this, and I have no idea where this is going to go. I would love to be able to help thousands of people who are diabetic and maybe have other health issues, just bring awareness to the fact that we can care for our bodies differently. So right now, that is it. Now, what I would say is the supplies that I have available, these are going to run $8 a piece. These would run $5 a piece. And the overall, the Caring for the Body book, when this is finished and ready to go out with all of these, what I'll call lessons or sessions in them, these will be probably $15 a piece. And then
they're not ready yet.
These are not quite ready. They're close. I've got to get on the proofreader. I'm just kidding, of course.
That's a wild question. What do you tell people about diet pop?
Nothing.
You use diet pop?
No. One of the things that I try to be, there's a few things I'm very careful about in presenting this. Number one is, I am not medically trained, so I give no medical advice. I tell my story, and I have researched in this caring for the body situation here where we talk about like a physical health focus. You know, I do research on what the body needs. I document that research and basically then tell people, you got to educate yourself on what it's going to do for your body and that sort of thing. I stay away from giving medical advice because I am not trained to do so. Number two, I stay away from bad-mouthing certain products. And I would do that by promoting heavily other products, such as drink your water. Personally, I drink a lot of green tea because the antioxidants that are in green tea feed my body what it needs to fight off things. So, yes.
Did you consult with any professional doctors before you set up your presentation?
I actually had two doctors at one of my presentations, both of which said to me that, you know, the information that I have shared in the workshop has, you know, they would have no red flags. I presently have a doctor and a certified diabetes educator looking this over to kind of not necessarily go over to with a fine-tooth comb, but to kind of just look at the general idea of it. Another thing I will let you know is that I do have and require for all people who would attend the four-hour workshop, they must sign a waiver form which states that they agree to contact their doctor before implementing any information that is shared in that workshop. Because that workshop is my story. That workshop is what works for me. And they have to sign that to be a part of the workshop. They must agree to sign that waiver form before they can listen to any of the presentation. Just simply because legal issues, you know, people could say, well, he said this, or he said this, or, you know, he said I should do this. No, wait a minute. I didn't say you should do anything. This is what works for me. So I'm very careful about that. And have kind of had people coach me in that direction, making sure that I'm very careful.
And a man in my church who asked me to go visit his 31-year-old daughter, very thin, slim lady. She had gone in with a diabetic, the number is over 700.
Mm-hmm.
She basically went unconscious. They put her on a vent. I got there in the morning. They had just taken off the vent, and she's on the mend, but she's still got some other issues that she's working with. But just 31, she's been a diabetic.
I know of a fellow employee who is right about the same age. Early 30s, not a bit overweight, and went into the doctor and found out that he was very high, and they immediately put him on insulin. His situation is totally different than mine. That's why I don't present this as a cure or some type of natural healing or, you know, the only way it can be done. My idea with this entire ministry is to bring awareness to health issues, caring for our body, and to challenge and encourage believers to look at not only physically, but also the spiritual aspect, the body of Christ aspect of it. And that's the focus of what this is all about.
Do any of you guys see a 12-point message series in that?
Yeah.
I mean, you could take all 12 of those points, do 12 weeks on each one, you know, in a message series. Anyway.
Yes. Yes.
We almost do this in our church prior to your coming to get people interested in it, and then have you come and do your, or is that backwards? You
wouldn't necessarily have a discussion with it, in a sense.
Right.
We got some small groups, you know. I don't know if that would be a caring for the body would be a...
It can really be used in any way you would like it to. I use the initial workshop as kind of a springboard to draw people to the topic. Yeah. I've already shared with you throughout this session more than once, it's kind of like, this can be tough. It can be very, very tough to deal with diabetes. And I'm not naive enough to think that maybe someday my body still may require medication to control it. I'm not naive enough to believe that I'm going to go forever and be able to do it with diet and exercise. But, you know, and I'm very careful about how, you know, I don't make claims that, you know, hey, everybody can do this. It's just not true.
You test your glucose once, twice a day still?
Generally now I test it once a day and it's in the morning. So I did for quite some time, I checked it 3 times a day. I would check it like in the morning when I got up, and I would check it before lunch and check it before dinner. And even early on, I checked it even more than that, like to watch for the spikes after a meal and those sort of things. So, but yeah, 1 time a day is when I generally check mine, because I've noticed the trends. I mean, my afternoon blood glucose that I take when I get home from work or early evening before I eat dinner is generally 85 to 90 every day. But my morning ones, you know, this morning I was 122. And I didn't totally behave last night.
How often do you weigh yourself?
Too often. I weigh myself every day, but
morning, evening.
I have a routine when I weigh myself. It's always before I eat anything in the morning.
I was going to say that you just mentioned about, you know, you weren't very good last night. The late night eating, especially, people think, oh, it's a simple snack, popcorn. But it's so much full of salt, and all that late night eating like that can really affect your blood sugar first thing in the morning.
It can.
And that's what you're, because you're on a fast from whenever you stop eating until the morning.
But let me share something else with you from the opposite perspective of that. When I was first diagnosed, when I went through the management classes, they made reference to the idea that if you have high blood sugars in the morning, it may be possibly because you're going an extended period of time without eating, so your liver is actually dumping a bunch of sugar into your bloodstream. So if you find that to be the case, before you go to bed, have a 1 or 2 carb low-fat snack so that your liver won't dump the sugar. Well, guess what? I started doing that. Guess what happened to my morning blood sugars? It's all about learning what your body is doing with the food that you're giving it. That's why you got to educate yourself about the disease and about your particular situation. And, you know, really, we've got to go because the time is well beyond. I think the next session starts at 2:30, correct? 2:45.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't have to go. Sit back down. No.
Yeah,
there is a break. But you see, that's why it's all about knowing what each individual body's doing, and bringing awareness to that is kind of what I'm trying to do. One last thing I do want to say, and I'll stay for more questions if you have them, but on the top of this sheet, you will notice an email address, caringforthebody@aol.com. If you are at all interested in trying to have a Saturday morning workshop at your church, please email me at that address, and I would be happy to talk with you further.
Where are you located?
I'm located in Cedar Springs, which is about 20 minutes north of Grand Rapids. So, Cedar Springs, Jim's stomping grounds now. If there are no other questions, thank you very much for coming, and please feel free to talk to me if you'd like.